Steve Jaco pre-game interview.
Steve Hocking's been good enough to join us, the AFL footy operations boss, friend of K-Rock Footy. Hock Kingy, Benny Cassinilti joining you from the K-Rock Hub. Where do we find you on a fine Sunday afternoon in the Sunshine State?
Good afternoon, gents, and thanks for having me on, Tom. I'm actually at Metricon Stadium. I'm here to watch the Cats play the Swans. Obviously, some critical games, this one being one of them, and also later this evening as well, and then tomorrow night to round out round 18.
You needed to get 144 more home and away games and 9 finals away, Hock, before to get the season out of the way. I think there's 9 finals and now about 5 home and away games to be played. Have you started to sleep a little bit easier knowing that, you know, the number of games has just contracted that you've got to get away?
Look, a little bit, Tom, but not completely. You know, we've still got a lot of work ahead of us, and credit to everybody. It's been extraordinary, the commitment and also the partnerships that we've been able to build as well with the Queensland government and other state governments as well. I think that the focus will shift from this particular round. Clearly, we want to deliver a really strong final series. So we've plugged in the pre-finals bye, which will actually help support that. One of the things that we've been working towards is just trying to get the clubs back into a sort of a normal training routine as well. So we're working with the Queensland government to achieve that, so they've got a bit more access to their players. They're also coming out of compressed phase as well. So, you know, they've really been turning around and just in a recovery focus. So they've been, turning around really quickly. So to be able to do that over the next sort of fortnight, I think will really help sharpen up the finals and deliver a really strong final series. And we've got 10 clubs that we need to dismount from Queensland and pack up and push them back around all their home states. So a lot of work ahead of us.
Everything going to plan for Geelong fans, Hock, that the Cats win this afternoon and they'll finish top 4, and that pushes the Eagles down to 5th spot and hosting a final at Optus Stadium. Have you got any vision around what the final series will look like in terms of, I suppose, that Perth final? Does that make it harder to schedule that first weekend of finals and what that looks like and where you place that final?
Oh, look, I think one of the challenges for us is just the season finishing tomorrow night. So, we're clearly, there's a whole range of different combinations that we're working through and how it will, when those games will be played, who's playing who. So we'll get closer to that after today and then obviously into tomorrow night as well. But still a work in progress. Marcus King has just done an incredible job right throughout this year, him and Travis Hall. To deliver the fixture that they have has just been extraordinary. So it's a real credit to that team to be able to achieve, what they've done. And then you think about, Port Adelaide Collingwood game at the Gabba tomorrow night to round out the season. It's just it's great scheduling.
Absolutely. Just talk to us, Hock, though, about when we might know finals. Is it potential that you use the host broadcaster in Channel 7 that, you've got your scenario sort of in place and that as soon as that siren goes, half an hour later, you can roll out what the first week of finals look like?
Oh, look, there'll be a few stakeholders to work through, Tom, and certainly we'll be looking to try and lock it all in as soon as possible. I haven't had confirmed, when that will be, but ideally, if you have a look at past announcements, it won't be too far after that.
Steve, it's Ben Cass. Thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy. How have you seen the review system and its workings this year?
Hi, Ben, and thanks for the question. Look, it's we've made advancements, definitely. I think that, it's been far more consistent, which we've been really pleased about. We entered a partnership with RMIT, which is a 5-year partnership, and that's been really beneficial. We will continue to progress that part of the game, but what we've been able to do is really tighten up the amount of people that are involved in the decision-making and condense that. And off the back of that, we've got, in my view, far better decision-makers and a much smaller group, and I think it's benefited the game. We'll look at the end of the year as to how we can continue to advance it. Quite clearly, cameras at all venues would be one of those things, but there's also other things that can be applied to the game longer term.
For Prestige, Jayco speaking with AFL Football Operations boss Steve Hocking. His former teammate Mark Neild on K-Rock Footy.
G'day, Steve. Hey, mate, hey, first of all, hey, listen, thanks for everything you and your team have done for everybody that's down here in Victoria. I know that we can't go to the footy, but what you guys have done for the good of the game to get it going, but also for the people that are down here in lockdown, in all seriousness, it has seriously gone a long way to keeping Victorians going. So thank you for that. I just want to touch on a couple of things. You mentioned before there are, 10 clubs after this weekend. You've got to jettison, for want of a better word, back to where they came from, or in some cases, some of them are going to stay in Queensland. Can you just talk us through some of those arrangements for the clubs and or players that are choosing to stay up there?
Yeah, Mark, great to chat to you. Look, and thanks for your comments as well. The really important thing for us has been to make sure that all of the fans, there's close to a million members that have invested in the game this year, which is quite extraordinary. So for us, it has been about keeping the season going and making sure that we've got great content. The footy frenzy has been, I think, embraced by everybody. We've clearly had two versions of that. So the fans have loved it because they've been in lockdown in Victoria. So, our hearts and minds go out to them because that's been very tough on a lot of people. And it's not lost on us up here, the fact that we're actually living with a bit more freedom. So part of, the second part of your question is around how we allow players to exit the season and then what they do here through Queensland. And a lot of them will stay on. There'll be a large number of players that will stay on and staff as well. There's people that have been up here for, 15 weeks. So they're certainly ready for a break, and there's people that have been away from loved ones and so forth. And so those people looking to get home. But the ones that are up here with families, they will go and disperse. And we've been fortunate enough to gain approval from the Queensland government that they can actually go and spend time in Airbnbs and so forth. But with that comes responsibility, and they need to live accordingly. So they'll enjoy their break, and a well-deserved break as well, because it certainly has asked a lot of them this season. But as I say, they've earned that right to do that.
Yeah, thank you for that insight. Mate, the second one for me, I'd like you to, if you can, not too much detail, but the summary of how difficult the decision on the grand final was, given that you are in Queensland, but you had a couple of other state governments come hard at you, and then also how difficult a decision it was to shift the starting time. We understand the tradition in terms of location, that was obviously needed to change, but then there was another shift with the time.
Yeah, look, all of it was difficult, Mark, and one of the main reasons for that was the state governments and the partnership that we have, and we truly value that. One of the great things is that we've been able to take football to all parts of the country, and that we've been mindful of that right across the year, and we value that support. In the end, South Australia and Western Australia, really, really strong, and New South Wales as well, as far as their bid for the grand final. But we felt that the Queensland longer-term investment in our code, like our game up here, was really strong. We're talking, facilities and grounds and so forth, which we were really keen on. And the other part is just loyalty. I mean, we were stuck at a point in time there as far as continuing the season. And they stepped forward and gave us a license, social license up here with protocols that we had to live by and play by, and we've stuck to those. We've clearly had some breaches here and there, but overall, the majority's been really strong, and so in the end we felt it was the right thing to do to go with the Gabba as far as the grand final goes. Now, I was at the Gabba last night for the game. It was a terrific game, and to be there at that time and actually a 6:30 start. Not easy, but I think like a lot of things this year, people have gotten used to just so much change, and so there's a bit more acceptance of it. And I think it'll be a great experience. There was 14,000 attendees last night, supporters there, and it was raucous. And if the Lions were able to get through, it would just lift the roof off that stadium. So we're going to be double that, aiming for double that for grand final night, and it's really, I think it's going to be quite spectacular.
Again, thank you. I agree with you. I suppose I'll meet you halfway. If the Lions are there, Hock, we've got to get the Cats there as well. So we'll just that will then make it a ripping night. Okay, so I'll meet you halfway there. Mate, final one from me is just about the list sizes for clubs and how close we are to hearing what that number will be and whether or not it will be done in stages over consecutive years. Where's the AFL and the Players Association, I suppose, will be in those discussions as well. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, look, one of the challenges, Mark, has just been getting everybody together, and that's been a real challenge. And, you know, you can do so much on Zoom. Most of the year, as an example, I saw Gil yesterday. I was out running sort of fairly early in the morning, and I bumped into Gil, and we were about 10 or 15 metres apart. That's the first time I've seen him since March this year, and people just don't realise or probably recognise, you know, what's been done without being face to face. So all of it's been virtual. You know, all of our decision making has been. And so, you know, we thought we were going to get right through to the end of the grand final before we actually saw one another, but we bumped into one another yesterday. It was great to see him.
Amazing, so, Steve. That is absolutely amazing. Not at all. Well, look, I'm, you know, in a radio studio down in Geelong with a couple of people, and when you said that, the looks on everyone's faces was like, what? How have they achieved what you've done with that? That's amazing.
Look, that's the success of the group that are working together. The executive group. I know that at times, you know, it's questionable, potentially, you know, some of the decision making, supporters and so forth, sort of, you know, rally up against that. But to just give people an understanding, that's been going on since March, to keep, you know, the industry going and keep all of us healthy as well, because if one of us goes down or the group goes down, then, you know, where's the leadership? So back to your question, as far as the list sizes go, it will be progressive. I think one of the challenges for us, Mark, would be if we were to do something quite radical at the end of this year. I don't think that's fair on anybody. It would be a staged approach. Where we're at with it currently is we're working through it with the AFLPA, and those discussions certainly started. We're really mindful that it's a important decision. There's a lot of the next 2 or 3 months that rely on all of that and into next year. So we are trying to ramp up those discussions. But again, it's sort of the order of things at the moment, and finals, a successful finals series is going to be really important.
Hock, some quick ones before we let you go. Have you seen the Jaden Hunt, Christian Petrarca 3-quarter time incident? And if you have, is it an AFL issue, or are you going to let Melbourne deal with that in-house?
Well, yeah, look, I have seen it, and it's totally inappropriate. It's just not behaviour that we condone. So it's completely unacceptable. And Melbourne have dealt with it, and will continue to do that. I think we're very clear, 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago on our stance on that, where there's just no place for that in the game.
Pre-season training, is December 1 the earliest you're going to allow clubs to go back, or is there a potential that we might not see clubs officially in pre-season mode until January?
Oh, Tom, it's another one that's on the whiteboard. There's a long list of those, just ticking them off sort of day by day. But we need to work through that. What I would say is AFLW one's the next important piece for us. They've got their pre-season starting in November, and clearly we're committed to that getting started, and we're also extremely committed to making sure that we get a season away, as we've done with the men. So that's sort of front of mind right at this point in time, and you know what you're asking there as far as the men's go, all in order of time. Everyone will need a break, there's no doubt about that. I know that we're all very fortunate to be up here in Queensland, absolutely acknowledge that, but there is fatigue in the system, definitely, because of the compression and you know, racing through the games like we have. We've asked a lot of people, and we thank them for their commitment to that, but people are going to just need a break at a point, and we'll work out when those return dates are soon enough.
Do you expect there to be no pre-season games as such for AFL men?
Tom, that's just something you're racing ahead. You're taking me right through to February, late February. I can assure you, if we could get that far ahead, we'd welcome it. That would mean that things are probably potentially getting back to normal. But I think we all know that we're not there at this point in time, but we'd love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've just had a couple of questions off Twitter. One of those is regarding quarters, but I think Gill's made this pretty clear that the quarters will be staying at 16 minutes plus time on through the final series.
Yes, that's right, definitely. And that's an integrity piece, that one. And you know, people need to recognise, and we certainly understand this, and the competition recognises this, what you started, what we started with is what we want to finish with. And we're not through it. You know, we may, potentially, if there was an outbreak of COVID, we need to race through finals matches, and, you know, we might have to change the scheduling. And we put all of that in place off the back of collaborating early with high-performance managers who have done a great job in managing the list. You know, people were talking about, and particularly in clubs, the potential injury spikes, but, you know, all of that has stayed pretty standard compared to other years, and so that's a credit to everybody. But it was all set up, shorter seasons, shorter quarters, you know, larger breaks at quarter time, three-quarter time. It was all done to work through all the challenges this year. So, yes, it will remain the same for final.
Yep, and the holding the ball decision, do you reckon that might get reviewed post-season? Seems to be a frustration amongst broadcasters and fans alike, and maybe even with players as well.
Oh, look, Tom, if you can come up with the answer on that one, I think it's been a frustration. It's been there for about 150, 60 years. So that one will continue, I think, for a long period of time. We love the passion in the game. You know, we love the fact that there's different views on decisions. You know, in credit to the umpires, they've done an unbelievable job. They are one cohort that have been significantly impacted across this season because they actually have jobs. They're a part-time piece within our industry, and so they've had to pack up and travel around the country. And I told a story sort of recently that one of the games over in Adelaide, we weren't able to get umpires into the state, and so we had to fly some guys really, really late. And they basically, two guys, two field umpires, showed up with about 3 minutes before the game bounced and rolled on. And did an absolutely fantastic job. And, you know, that's some of the stuff that they've actually had to work through. Again, a lot of the things behind the scenes that have gone on, hopefully one day we'll make a book that will make great reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Hock, we really appreciate your time. Good to catch up with you. The AFL has done a wonderful job to get this season away, and we've enjoyed doing it from slightly unique circumstances. It's been bizarre not to have been at the ground for a couple of months, but we've been able to do it from the K-Rock Hub, and the AFL's played a role in facilitating that for us as well, and we do appreciate it. But Hock, well done to you, your team, and Gil. We really appreciate your time, and look forward to talking to you hopefully through the final series.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks for all your support. It's great you're able to bring all of that to the listeners and all the supporters out there. So well done.
Thank you, Hock. Steve Hocking joining us here. Really great to be able to speak with the AFL football operations boss from HQ. That's unbelievable that he and Gil hadn't seen each other for 6 months. And if you're number one and your two OC aren't communicating face to face, not usually much is getting done. But this is a new world order we live in, Neildy.
Yeah, it is, Kingy, and you know, a couple of things there. I think how the ripple effect of COVID-19 has made everybody, nearly everybody, had to change the way they conduct their business, conduct their life, and the AFL hasn't been immune from that. And the fact that, yeah, these are really, really strong people at the top of AFL footy that are able to make such executive decisions and do it while not face-to-face. I think they've done a great job. But just another example of how our world has changed.
Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.